Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. The stone is rolled away. We are released. The tomb is empty. We are here. Christ is risen. Life is full. Thanks be to God. Will you stand as you are able in body or spirit and join with me in our call to worship? In our Easter joy, we find a God of new starts and fresh growth.
In our Easter grace, we find a God of renewal and transformation.
In our Easter faith, we find a God to carry us from shadows and despair.
In our Easter peace, we find a God to nurture us in hope and love.
In our Easter lives, let us glorify God's name now and forever. We sing together, Jesus Christ is risen today. And as we sing, I would like to invite the children who are with us, the teenagers, and the young people to come up to the front to help decorate our Easter cross. Let us sing.
Thank you.
I invite you to stay standing. Just turn to the people around you and offer a warm greeting. We say, peace be with you, and the response is, and also with you. And children, thank you. You can be seated as, yes. Kids, thank you so much for helping to decorate our cross. It looks amazing, and we appreciate you. And in this time, you're actually welcome to head downstairs. Emma and Nicole are our leaders today. They're at the back. Emma and Nicole, if you give a wave and stand up, they will take the kids downstairs. Kids, if you've never been here before and you're a little apprehensive about going downstairs, we also have an area at the back. You can play there, then come back to your parents. It's all good. Well, so good morning and welcome. My name is Kristen. I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United Church. And joining me in leadership today is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, and our wonderful choir who you have already been hearing. And we here are a center that supports human flourishing in the neighborhood and in the city of Toronto. And it is so good to be together today. We do have tea, coffee, refreshments after the service. You're all invited to stay. How you get there is just through that door there. And I've noticed that somebody, and I think it was the Easter Bunny, there are chocolate eggs actually all over the church, and they're not just for the kids. So, you know, come to coffee hour, you may find a little sweet surprise. Some brief announcements. We're delighted. I just want to flag two services coming up in April. Mark Cullen, the gardener and writer, is going to be with us ahead of Earth Day on April 14th. So you may want to come and check him out. Also, our annual general meeting is happening on April the 21st, and all are welcome. That will be immediately following the service. We are proud here to be an affirming congregation. We celebrate people of all sexualities, orientations, and gender identities as gifts of the Creator. And we are grateful to work, live, and worship on land that has been the traditional home of the Huron-Wendat, the Seneca, the Mississaugas of the Credit River, and to Indigenous people from across Turtle Island. And I invite us to settle into the silence now, to bring ourselves into this moment, body, mind, and spirit, to take a breath if you need to, and to enjoy the peace. Let us pray. O God, we gather conscious of our limits, those boundaries and vulnerabilities that mark us as human. We are bound by time, place, energy, and experience. We have limits to our physical ability, our wisdom, our language, limits of patience, forgiveness, generosity, hospitality, hope, and love. Yet with you and in you, in trust and in a giving over, we are met with your holy possibility. Stir our imaginations this morning. Move us from simple to complicated. Speak to the reality of life beyond this life and your hope for a better world. We pray in the name of your risen one, who taught us to say, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So in this moment, we open the theme that we will explore throughout this time together. It will run like a river through the course of this service. It's a question for you to think about, and you don't need to share your answer with anyone. This is just for you to ponder in your heart. And the question that I want you to consider today is, what does a world with God in charge look like? What does a world with God in charge look like? If you could imagine this, what would you choose? Would our world look like the one we live in? Or would it look different? You're invited to ponder as Sarah plays.
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "See, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the witness of the Hebrew Scriptures. Thanks be to God.
And we join hearts and spirits now as we lift up prayers of this community, holding the people and places that are close to us, with us, and also holding the global community as we pray. Oh God, you are the source of all our hope, inviting us to turn from what is simple to what is complicated. In the times when we confront despair that deadens, you come alive. In the times we refuse to bend to injustice, you come alive. In the times we glimpse the willingness of a faithful community to joyfully work in your name, you come alive. We have felt the sustaining power of your presence, living God. The peace and the grace you give, and so you have gathered us. Holy One, we give our thanks and praise. Amen. And will you join with me in this moment of offering and response? We bring our gifts to the table. We offer now the work of our hands and the love of our hearts.
Thank you.
Living God, we thank you for these gifts of hands and heart. May we use these to be a blessing and to support flourishing in all its forms. Amen.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the witness of the early church. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And now what this moment calls for is a very simple message of hope. And hope is the core of the Easter story. Hope is there in the subtext and in all the little details, the stone that had been rolled away, the presence of a strange angelic figure. Mark's use of the passive verb tense, he has been raised, to signal that Jesus has been acted upon by an outside force. And we know this is a good news story, otherwise known as a gospel. That's how Mark begins his book, with this sentence, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And today we hear this good news, the gospel, this simple message of hope. And it is, to quote my favorite hymn, that this is God's wondrous world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. God has raised Jesus to new life. Evil does not, cannot overcome the love of God. This is the simple message of hope at Easter. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified, the young man says to the women. He has been raised. He is not here. The simple message of hope is that nothing can quench God's love or finally defeat God's gracious purpose for humankind, to use the words from the United Church's 1940 statement of faith. It is a simple message of hope, but most of us find it complicated to proclaim. The power of God is the hope at the core of the Easter story. Simple. But to talk meaningfully about the power of God in our world, that's complicated. If only the simple message of hope at Easter were about the power of springtime, then our simple message of hope wouldn't be so complicated, because spring is natural, logical, easily explainable. Plant life and many animals go dormant as fall deepens into the depth of winter. The earth slowly tilts on its axis. Our northern hemisphere shifts further away from the sun and its light. Plants and many animals go into energy conservation mode, not dead, but dormant. Then the lengthening hours of sunlight as the earth starts to tilt back towards the sun supplies the energy boost needed for plants and animals to come back to life, so to speak, for sap to flow and buds to pop out and birds to start singing. If we were gathered here to proclaim the simple message of hope that is the springtime, well, that would be so much easier. People can wrap their heads around the annual circle of planetary cycles, sunrise after dark night. But the trouble is that Easter's simple message is not about the power of springtime. Easter's simple message is about the power of God in all our lives. It's complicated. Even the ending of the Easter story in the Gospel of Mark is complicated because it's left totally unresolved and just in this kind of tension. Did you notice that? That's not how stories are supposed to end. The young man in the white robe tells the women to go and tell the disciples what they've seen. But instead, Mark writes, the women fled from the tomb and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The end. Many people have found this ending disturbing. If you were to look at the very last chapter of the book of Mark, you will see that later scribes added an extra 11 verses to the gospel just to try to resolve it. There's just something complicated about proclaiming the way we in the Christian tradition proclaim the power of God. We say, this is God's wondrous world. But honestly, if you could imagine what you think a world with God in charge looks like, would you choose this one? I mean, as is. What would you choose instead? A multicultural, peaceful, and bustling city that celebrates its diversity? A pristine and quiet wilderness, a library with all kinds of cozy nooks in which to curl up with the wisdom of the world? We heard the prophet Isaiah's vision of a world where God is in charge in our first reading. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines. And what about suffering? Would you include any suffering in your vision of a world where God is in charge? Isaiah didn't. And God will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, he writes. God will swallow up death forever. When I was growing up in Edmonton, I used to love to go for a walk or a run or to ride my bike down a long street called Saskatchewan Drive, so named because it runs parallel to the North Saskatchewan River Valley. And the people who live there don't look across the street at other houses, but at the vast plateau of the other side of the green-gray river and the steep embankments of poplar, spruce, and pine. And now what I liked about Saskatchewan Drive was that life there seemed so perfect and uncomplicated, so settled and so resolved. Here was life in a state of grace, I thought. The houses were grand and spacious and in good repair, and the lawns and flower beds were manicured, and the sidewalks were swept and clean. The subtext of Saskatchewan Drive was that with just a little effort, life could be controlled, peaceful, ordered, resolved. Saskatchewan Drive was the kind of place where I could look around and easily proclaim the simple message of hope at Easter. This is God's wondrous world. Because it looks like the kind of place I might imagine if I imagined a place where God is the ruler yet. On Saskatchewan Drive, there are no obvious signs of suffering. And here's what makes it complicated to proclaim the simple message of hope that is the story of Easter. We say that here and now God is the ruler yet. And we do this despite the fact that this world's story is not resolved, despite the fact that this world is no Saskatchewan Drive, no cozy nook for most people, no celebration of diversity, no picnic on a mountaintop with fine wines. We in the Christian tradition say, this is God's wondrous world, despite the persistent presence of suffering in it. Most people can't make sense of that. They can't proclaim the power of God in a world full of suffering. For most people, the presence of suffering can only mean that God is absent. And so most people at this time of year stick with simply proclaiming the power of spring. I've been sitting with a poem this week, maybe you know it, it's called Still I Rise by the writer Maya Angelou. And what I find so interesting about this poem is not its sense of resolution, but its embrace of tension. It begins, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise." And I've been trying to give it a name, this kind of inner power. I've been trying to figure out where it comes from. Here's a narrator familiar with suffering. She is the descendant of slaves and a daily acquaintance with injustice. Her presence is off-putting and jarring to a world that is used to seeing her through a lens of stereotype and bias. But just like moons and like suns, she continues with the certainty of tides, just like hopes springing high still, I'll rise, she writes. And I've been sitting with this poem because I hear in it echoes of the Easter story and the poetry of the hymns we've sung this morning. They cut me down, and I leap up high. I am the life that will never, never die. It's not the resolution here that's so powerful. It's not that the speaker's life is perfect and free from suffering. It's the presence of tension that is remarkable. I think there's a stereotype and a bias about church people, that we are largely Saskatchewan Drive types. I mean, people who are only able to proclaim the power of God at Easter and to claim this world as God's wondrous world because we have either willfully blinded ourselves to the realities of the world or we have never experienced its suffering for ourselves. But I have yet to meet a member of this congregation who sits puffed up and proud with resolution. Most of you, I know you, most of you are shining with tension. I mean a strength, a compassion, a kindness, despite your experience of this world, not because of it. Most people I meet here don't get through life without being cut down in some way. And how would you explain it? The fact that somehow you stand up. I know people here who are living with the deepest loss. I know people who are so bent over by life that they shouldn't be able to stand, and yet they are. Most people here glow with a kind of tension. And that was Mary Magdalene. And Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, women who, like Maya Angelou, were familiar with meeting the world's harshness. Mary Magdalene is still, without any evidence, painted and depicted with stereotype and bias. How do we account for the tension they embody? Their guts, showing up not just at the tomb, but at Golgotha and when Jesus was buried. They could have cited Maya Angelou's poem. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. This past Thursday night, as Steve and I were leaving church after choir rehearsal, Steve was practicing with the choir. I was there to weigh in at the end on the choreography of their processions and recessions. We were on our way home, and I looked at my phone, and I had 3 missed calls and a text from a strange number. This is a neighbor of yours on St. Clarence Avenue, the text read. Can you please call me as soon as you can? And I knew it would be about our cat, who would go from inside our house to outside on our street seamlessly and constantly, and my number was on her collar, and people are always calling me to tell me they found her somewhere they think she shouldn't be. So I contacted the neighbor. Yes, she had our cat, the neighbor said. And then she said our cat had been hit. And I said, well, I'll come and get her from you right away. I can take her to the vet. And she said, no, your cat has died. Well, Thursday was a tender night. Our kids were devastated. So were we. Our youngest couldn't remember life before our cat, Ripley. Ripley had always been the durable object he'd turn to in order to steady himself during his ups and downs. And that night he took the blanket that she liked to curl up on and slept with it wrapped around him all night. And Friday morning were more tears. And what I was thinking was how awkward it was, how complicated it was that this had happened on Easter weekend. I just didn't know how I was going to talk about the simple message of Easter with my son when his world had really shattered and he was so full of suffering. I thought, well, how am I supposed to tell him now that I believe that this is God's wondrous world And how is he supposed to trust that God is the ruler yet when a beloved pet can be hit by a car? How do I even begin to talk about the power of God when, because of this little circumstance, it feels for our son as though we've been kicked out of our house on Saskatchewan Drive, so to speak? And of course he has no sense of resolution yet. And of course he's been crying each day. All of us have. We were out when our cat was struck. But you know, a neighbor we'd never met picked her up and took her home, cleaned her for us, presented her to us wrapped in a clean towel and lying on a soft pillow in a small laundry basket. And there is no resolution, but there is a tension. I mean a strange and illogical and inexplicable presence of kindness and love. And our weekend has been a state of grace. And that really is the simple message of Easter, that we are never where the presence of God can't find us. Not because suffering is absent, not because our lives are all tied up with a bow, but because we are surprised to find some sweetness, like finding a chocolate egg in a random cupboard. We are surprised to find some sweetness, even in the bitterness of life. And the force that causes that tension, I believe, is divine. When we are surprised by tension, not resolution, when we are weak yet we are strong, when we are poor and still call ourselves blessed, when we are broken yet somehow intact, when we are cut down but we leap up high, it's God's presence that creates that tension and makes me proclaim this is God's wondrous world. And to share with you this simple message of hope at Easter. Amen. Will you stand as we sing? So let's forget resolution and embrace the tension. God of Easter, send us forth now to live in the power of resurrection, that we in all creation might be one with the living Christ, to whom with you and the Spirit, one holy God, be honor and praise now and forever. And we sing a special new Easter tradition from the Hallelujah chorus of Messiah I want to give you permission to sit if you need to. Just make yourselves comfortable. We've been up for a while and you'll be up for longer, but you know, do as you need to do and just sing it out. Embrace the tension.